Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
In our chapter review this morning, we are still on Christ Object Lessons chapter 9, entitled The Pearl. Now, the pearl in the parable is purchased at great cost, and yet Scripture also calls Christ a gift. So this paradox reveals a deeper truth. Salvation is free, but it costs us everything. Not because we earn it, but because receiving Christ means surrendering self. The merchant didn't negotiate, he gave all. And that's the posture of true discipleship, not bargaining, but yielding. Let's get into it. Pastor Nako Makeleki joins us on the line. My pastor, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much. Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for the welcome again to the program today.
Thank you so much. We always appreciate your time, my pastor. Let's begin once again with a word of prayer.
Okay, let me pray. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for guiding us and leading us into this beautiful day again today. And therefore, this morning, Heavenly Father, as we expound on deeper details of the kingdom, we plead that we may be guided by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. As I pray so in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor, maybe before we get into today's questions, just a quick review of what we covered on Tuesday for those who might have missed that session.
Okay. Actually, Tuesday we were dealing about a few things relating to the very pearl that we're talking about in the parable. And we highlighted over the fact that we cannot talk about the pearl unless we talk about a maker and a person who should be seeking to find the pearl. So when we spoke that when we talk about the pearl, it's as if we are talking about the kingdom. We cannot talk about the kingdom without saying one should seek to be pearl or a member of a certain kingdom. Mm. Like we belong to a different nationalities and then we are issued identities. The government doesn't come out to find us to issue identities, but we go out in order to obtain such identities. Mm. But also the government extends a hand to give them to us after they have made it. Whether it is with you or it is anyhow, it belongs the property of the government. Right. So as much as when you talk about the kingdom, we talk about you seeking the kingdom and the kingdom also in seek of you as to or to be its member. So in other words, a detailed word we say, why do we think we are the ones looking for the kingdom? Actually, the owner of the very kingdom is in need of us. He's looking for us individually as much as he's looking for the pearl.
Mm. Beautiful.
That's a little in brief of what we did say previously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to today's lesson, how do you reconcile the idea of Christ as both a gift and a costly treasure at the same time?
Actually, let me did highlight in the previous lessons, we cannot actually talk about you realizing Christ as the gift and as the pearl at the same time, unless otherwise we must lose hold of what we hold dear.
Right.
And we say we are often entangled or scheduled with busy things of the world, mm-hmm. and they steal us from looking at the deeper treasures that are concerned of eternity. And therefore we say we cannot talk about the gift of Christ without we should have the mind of eternity. So it brings to mind that there are certain things we should lose hold of. We're looking at almost what we said, they were good things that we hold dear to us.
Mm.
But in the end of the day, they become weapons against us. But the Bible is so clear also of this things that we should also get loose of. Mm-hmm. When you read throughout the book of Proverbs, Solomon speaks of a few. He is concerned about our social relations as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, there are few things that the Lord hates. If they are not nine, they are 10. And those things he speaks about, they are things that are concerned in our social encounters. When you go also to the book of Revelation, the Revelator speaks, now that these are characters who won't make it for heaven.
Mm-hmm.
In Proverbs, it's about the social aspect of us. What should we be considerate of in our social cycles? And in Revelation, it's about character. Now, when you are aware of this, form your character and against these characters, because they are not part of those that will make it to heaven.
Mm.
So we cannot realize or we cannot consider Christ as the gift unless actually we must yield ourselves to God. We must yield ourselves for his service. Then it is the only time we can be aware to realize him as the gift. We must surrender our own habits, of course. We must flee from worldly attractions and comfort. We must also overcome our unholy actions and take our cross and follow Jesus Christ. More especially, there's something we always beat about. At least I'm trying. You know, the author says, wholly saved. Almost wholly saved, it's almost wholly lost as well. Because you are neither whole nor cold. So take a standpoint. Be clear where you are. You are holy or you are not holy. So that it is a made clear thing that now you are strict and precise of following Christ.
Those are strong words. You can't be a little bit saved.
Not at all. Not at all.
Mm. And now, in what areas of our lives do you feel like we might still be negotiating with God instead of surrendering?
Yeah, that's the most difficult question, but the most actually personal question ever. Can I talk about myself that I've realized quite a lot. I always try to negotiate with God when it's my time to return what belongs to him in the first place. Whenever I have to return what belongs to him, it's a negotiation. Let me make it next month.
Mm.
You know, next month, that's another next month until, you know, that postponement.
Mm-hmm.
Such is a thing with us. When it comes to service with God, in the days of our youth, we believe we must serve him when we are old enough and are nearing death. We negotiate him in various ways of our lives. You know, parents are privileged with resources. And instead of us parenting and, you know, building our homes, our resources take place of that. And then we invite strangers in our altars of the home. And apparently, whom to blame? So I guess when we talk about these things we always bargain God with and negotiate God with, those are things like what holds our daily lives? Work. Most of us have become workaholics and have got no time for our tasks with God. We hardly pray even at work. Others, we are entangled with career schedules. And of course, it's the right thing to pursue education like we did say previously. But we say, if it makes you busy for God, it's in one way or the other misdirecting you to the cause. So these are just minor things I could talk about that we often are entangled with. So I guess if we be able to fight against such, we can be able then to say, we realize these areas of our lives which we always bargain God with, and we must put it to an end.
And the funny thing, Pastor, is that as we're bargaining, it's almost like we think we're doing God a favor. Like, don't worry. Whatever you're asking for, I'll give you next week. I'll give you next month, as if he needs it.
Yeah.
And yet we are the ones, we are the beneficiaries when we do what he's calling us to do. But it's almost like we think we're withholding from him by saying that, okay, no, we'll give you next week. He doesn't need it. We are the ones who benefit when we give.
Of course, this is certainly what we always want to make, you know. I'll make an illustration of those people during the triumphal entry.
Mm-hmm.
You remember quite well, they were putting leaves and clothes along the road so that the donkey and Jesus could walk off. Hail the king! Oh, king is coming! But you know what they are making? They are creating him a kingdom within their own realm. They don't want to belong to his kingdom, but they want him to belong to their kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
This is certainly where we are as well. This is certainly where we are as well. We want to create this kind of God that we can cope with and we can understand. And that's not the teaching of the Bible. The very God of the Bible, the God we can never come to a point where we say, now we can understand him fully. He's within our bonds or areas of concern. But he reaches far beyond that. So, in other words, what we may seem that we are coping with God is us limiting God. That's why it's easier to be tempted of the very God we claim to trust in.
Yes, very true. Very true.
Yeah.
Now, Pastor, what does giving everything look like in your current season of faith?
Come again, please.
I was asking what giving all looks like, giving everything. What does that look like in your current season of faith?
You know, I must first acknowledge that it's not an easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying we must first understand we should always align our will with God's will, not to align God's will with our will. It doesn't work the other way around. So this is the thing. Surrender is always a difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take a short journey and divest from what we're dealing with. When Jacob had to surrender, he rather felt like he still has a long way rather to go. He went to his, actually he left home, he came to the place where he named it Bethel. It's the house of God. But all throughout the process, God was trying to teach Jacob, surrender, surrender, I've got this.
Mm.
He comes to his uncle's place, Laban. He got cheated.
Mm.
And he knows the bitter way. And leaving his uncle's place, he had to sneak out. Imagine, his freedom is stolen. He doesn't no longer have that right to do. In other words, he escapes as if he's not the owner of his own life. But guess what? He comes to the very place again, and then he's left alone. There where he has to surrender. And the Bible says he was disjoined from his thigh.
Mm.
So there are always scars of us battling to surrender with God. But there's so much comfort after that surrender. You know, after the discomfort of Jacob being broken, he is then faced to meet his brother Esau. And guess the comfort, the Bible says, when they saw each other, their souls clicked again, and then they gave each other that beautiful hug of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's nothing so nice as surrendering. In surrendering, you reconcile with God, and the world around you makes more sense than it ever made before. Because every time the challenge comes, you know, God is in the story. He is my treasured pearl. He is anything or everything else I would ever have after I've lost everything else I thought I've ever had before.
Mm. Powerful.
That's
powerful.
What I can say. The season of surrender looks like.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And before we let you go, Pastor, if you had to summarize this entire chapter and take out some of the most important lessons that you want to make sure that all our listeners go away with, what would those be?
Actually, let me just make them in 2 points.
Okay.
More especially the significance of the parable, the meaning of the whole parable of the pearl.
Mm-hmm.
Like I did highlight in the first place when you read through the parable. Listen, it can tell you of men seeking the kingdom of heaven.
Mm.
Of course, we always make Christ as the object for the kingdom.
Mm.
But one thing is, let's make him that precious pearl.
Mm.
That we wish we could purchase everything we had just for him.
Mm.
Let us surrender to self. Let us surrender to this self-dependency, self-trust. These are weapons against us, and they are weapons against faith.
Ish.
The man Caleb entered Canaan not because he was a fool, but he had surrendered wholly and fully to God, and God granted him the opportunity to make it to that kingdom. In other words, we cannot actually seek this kingdom not unless we realize Christ as that precious pearl we must pursue after. And the thing is, we cannot make it by our own. The Spirit is always willing and awaiting for our willing hearts so that he can redirect us in the right paths. You know, the Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, it says, all that is gain to me. It's Paul saying that. I consider or I count loss for Christ.
Mm.
Until we must count all the gain for us as loss for Christ, then we cannot have hold of this gracious and precious pearl, Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I count all my gains lost for the excellent thing, the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I would like to challenge our listeners and ask that there's an excellent thing.
Mm.
And that is the kingdom.
Amen.
And that excellency is Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
And the second part of what I want to conclude with is that when you look at the meaning of this parable, or the meaning of the parable as a whole, just think about God, heaven, or the kingdom searching, like I did say. It is searching for its own belonging, the lost belongings,
mm-hmm.
its inheritance. In other words, to me, to you and the listeners, it says, we are the inheritance of the kingdom.
Mm.
Not only are we the heirs of the kingdom, but we are also the inheritance of the kingdom.
Yeah.
The question is, are you located by the very kingdom? Because day in and day out, it is locating men and women as potential of heaven. In other words, when God looks at each one of us, he looks at us in a glance of Jesus Christ, because you and me are not worthy at all. So he looks at us in the lens of Jesus Christ, and he sees the unworthy people, but who can be made worthy
Amen.
Of Jesus' blood.
Mm.
See, in every humanity, God sees pearls of price.
Mm.
That's why he had to give the price, Jesus Christ, for each one of us. That's why Isaiah says, for we are bought in a price. We are the cost of the blood. Nobody has ever shed blood and it was a cost of redemption. Nobody has ever shed blood and it was a cost of our redemption. You see, God loved us so much. And therefore, we are pearls of a price. And when God looks at us, he says, though they are defiled, though they are ruined by sin, but he sees possibilities of redemption in us.
Hey.
He sees the earth and the candidates of heaven.
Mm.
Though however things have fallen apart, he saw in our hearts the longing that he must fulfill. He saw the conflict of ages, and he knew we cannot win by ourselves. That's why he says to us, he has surrendered all for our sake. Can we surrender all for his kingdom's sake as well?
Mm.
You see, heaven sold everything that it ever had. The Bible says he gave his only begotten son so that he can redeem us. He looked at us, he looked at humanity, he saw nobody can make it. But he saw in Christ that everybody else might be saved, that everybody might be redeemed due to his love. In other words, when we conclude the whole film, just remember, if you are in the search for this great power, the Holy Spirit can convict and direct you.
Amen.
And also, if you feel like you are valueless, you are of no worth, and any God no count where you are, remember, you are the count of heaven. Heaven went in all areas just for our search, so that we are made the purchase and we are made the pearls of the heavenly kingdom. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time, Pastor. Thank you for coming through and sharing such a beautiful and powerful lesson. God bless you.
I really appreciate that. May the Lord bless each one of us and our listeners as well.
Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.